Critic at large Laurie Stone often talks about comedy on our show, and she's often disappointed by the lack of good political humor. But she's found another political comic that she likes, Jimmy Tingle.
Over the years, I've seen Jimmy Tingle hone his act in New York clubs, but last winter at Caroline's and again this summer at the Montreal Comedy Festival, he showed unprecedented confidence and coherence. It's exciting when a performer takes this kind of leap and deepens, expands. Tingle can now be added to the small but significant list of political comics, including Harry Shearer, Louis Black, Will Durst, and Richard Belzer. These performers do more than take potshots at the physical mannerisms of politicians. They critique the injustice and greed steering policy. Short, dirty blonde hair juts up from Tingle's forehead. He has the open-faced good looks and contained energy James Cagney projected.
Well, B-1 bomber crashed last January, right? The plane cost $280 million to build. The plane crashed because it did not come equipped with de-icer. What? $280 million on a plane to protect North America? No de-icer? Come on, will you? I mean, a Volkswagen has defrost. I like doing the political stuff, folks, because everything is political. For instance, the AIDS crisis is very political. Nobody in positions of power in the United States was coming down with that disease. And the way everybody heard about the disease was, there's a strange new disease sweeping the country. It's killing Haitians, homosexuals, and drug addicts, and there's no cure. And all the politicians are going, yeah. What's the problem? They're living that immoral lifestyle. There's nothing we can do. We're sorry. It's the will of God. Of course, 9 years later, well, you can also get it from a prostitute. Well, something should be done.
I met with Tingle one afternoon recently, and he talked about comedy as a creative arena. When he started out, it was the one performing outlet he could imagine for himself. He was raised in Cambridge, Massachusetts, the oldest of four kids. His father drove a cab. His mother worked in a medical lab. In his neighborhood, kids either went into crime, or they went into sports, or they went to school, although Tingle recalls it wasn't hip to be smart. He made it to college anyway and studied history. He wanted to perform, but he didn't know any actors. He was funny with his friends in bars, but he was unsure how to harness this talent. The turning point came in 1980 when he saw Rodney Dangerfield for the first time. He was blown away. Dangerfield's street-smart, pretension-busting persona was a fitting inspiration. Soon after, a comedy club opened in Cambridge, 3 blocks from where Tingle was living. The Ding Ho Club would shortly launch as well. Stephen Wright, Steve Sweeney, Paula Poundstone, Jim Morris, Kevin Meaney, and Barry Crimmins. Tingle worked as daytime bartender, doorman, janitor, and open mic performer, slowly drawing courage from the talented cohort and piecing together an act. From the beginning, his theme was the system versus the little man. Tingle feels the hard part is holding on to himself while trying to get on TV. He's appeared on Carson, and he's auditioned for Letterman, a show with a bias against political comedy. He hasn't yet been offered a shot there, but he isn't waiting for that imprimatur. He's been encouraged by Reno and Sandra Bernhardt, and he's developing a one-man show that makes him feel juiced and creative. Tingle is an entertainer, but foremost, he wants to please himself, and that's the attitude that puts the show in show business.
Laurie Stone is a New York-based writer and critic, and is a contributor to The Village Voice. Jimmy Tingle is featured on the Strange Bedfellows comedy recording on the A&M label.